Blog Talk.
Hello, my name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this exciting weekly talk radio program where I get to interview the best, brightest, and, in my opinion, most creative people in the world, mainly about the innermost workings of their minds and what they're doing. You see, as a chiropractor, for many years I discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our destiny. And quite by accident, many years ago, I discovered that I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. The guests on my show were selected not because they're familiar with my work. Most aren't. Some are. But because they've obviously made some very strong decisions in their own lives that led them to their current success in life. And my goal in having them on this show is to probe a little bit and discover the pattern of their life decisions. This will allow you as my listeners to perhaps pick up some special nuggets that will add to your motivation and nourish your own seeds of success. So listen to the show with an open mind. After about 10 or 15 minutes, I invite you to call in with your own comments and questions. Our phone number here at the show is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. The show tonight, we have Nancy Spivey. She's an Atlanta entrepreneur and transformation consultant. Someone, she says, helps us with the change, or helps us with change. A transformation consultant is someone who helps people see change and adapt to the world around them. My interview will attempt to uncover some of the decisions that led Nancy into this unique field and continues to drive her success. And she founded Transformation Consultants, Inc. in 2001 to help organizations and individuals do more than simply cope with change. She's been doing so with thousands of clients since then, primarily in the fields of real estate, staffing, and IT. She has developed techniques and training tools that immediately work for both individuals as well as for large companies and organizations. And Ms. Spivey obtained her BS in business management from the University of North Carolina and is a professional speaker and trainer. She is a member of both the National Speakers Association and the Coaches Training Institute, one of the few training organizations, by the way, accredited by the International Coach Federation. I want to welcome you to the show, Nancy, and put you on the air here. Just one second. We've had a glitch. Hold on. There's a glitch on the show here. Hold on one second. Let me see if I can get Nancy up on the phone. Nancy, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Ah, wonderful. My internet's been out for 2 days, so I've been trying to adapt here. I'm on the cell phone today, so if I sound a little scratchy, that's the reason why. So, anyway, well, I appreciate you joining me tonight. And tell me, what are some of the secrets to your success, and what are the turning points and main experiences in your life that led you to where you are right now, in your opinion?
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you for having me, first of all, and that's a big question. When you mentioned trying to adapt, it brought me to thinking about a current speech that my business partner and I are doing, and it's called The Seven C's of Navigating Change.
Mm-hmm. I listened to part of that, by the way. It was excellent. I did hear the part about crossing your arms. I tried that, and it is strange, and, you know, about doing the simple stuff, like crossing your arms differently than you normally do. I thought that was a very good exercise and way of illustrating how change can be somewhat odd.
and part of what we talk about in the presentation is recalibrating and being able to adapt. And I think that's a, a really important part of a decision for anybody. As you mentioned, I'm a business coach, so I work a lot with people and see the patterns of people who are, you know, adapt more easily or more willing to accept and deal with change, seem to flow with things better. I know it's certainly been a success tool for me to be able to have things concrete and know where I want to go and what I want to do, but also be flexible and being able to change.
Right, right. That's I've been noticing you for several years now, and you seem to be very successful in what you're doing, and you're a very good speaker. I've heard you on several occasions, and I assume also you're a very good consultant, and you have a lot to bring to the table. How did you get together with, what was her, Nancy Gerber? Is that her name?
Uh-huh, yeah. Nancy.
And what is her effect, and how did y'all get together?
Well, Nancy and I met back in, oh my goodness, the early 2000s at the National Speakers Association, the Georgia chapter. And she was a coach. And when you went back to, if we go back a while, you were asking about how it started and where I had a changing point and that kind of thing. I was telling somebody the other day that I wanted to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist or something of that nature, but I never wanted to stay in school that long. I had always been big in working with people and helping people, and a lot of people had always come to me for advice and direction for as long as I can remember, but I never knew about this profession called coaching until I met Nancy. And Nancy was already a professional coach and had been for many years, and she had actually come from a counseling background. And she and I became friends, and I started working with her as my coach. And at some point, we stopped that work and sort of started bouncing ideas around with each other. And then I was in a mastermind group and invited Nancy along to participate in the mastermind group. And out of that, it's evolved into Nancy and I've developed a product to help other people. It's audio CDs and workbook to help other people set up their own and start their own mastermind groups, basically like your advisory board or board of directors. It's really another level, well beyond networking or leads groups or anything of that nature. It's really a very select few people that you let in into a small circle where you all really become each other's business family or, you know, trusted family that you work on your business or projects together. So we've done that project together, and now we're leading mastermind groups together and doing all kinds of fun things. So that's, you heard Nancy and I on the teleclass the other night.
Right, right.
Hmm?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was very good. As I said, I didn't get a chance to hear the whole thing. I'm looking forward to the time of sitting down and finishing listening to it. A lot of things have been happening. But it sounded like you've got a lot on the ball, and now tell me, you've been corporate consultant for a while. How does that work? Do you normally just go in for day sessions with corporations, or how do you normally integrate your work with corporate consulting?
Well, some of the work that I love doing the most is really working with teams. So going in and working with everybody, like if it's a smaller organization, we'll work with everybody from the receptionist up to the president of the company. And what happens in that kind of environment is with the outside facilitator being there, a coach, to work with everybody, there's a different level of communication. And we start to see through this process of working together what, where there are breakdowns in certain roles, where workloads are overlapping, one person's load is overlapping the other one, or somebody thought they were supposed to do this or they weren't supposed to do that. And then also there's, you know, it's funny because sometimes I'll have the leader will call me and say, I can't get my team motivated, they're not doing anything, and then we go in and start talking. And, you know, it's like everything just comes right out, and it's so easy, and the group together comes up with a lot of ahas occur through the process, but the group together will come up with great solutions, and they also come up a lot of times with their own accountability, how they want to carry their plan out. And that kind of work I do can be, it can be a day-long session, it can be, sometimes I'll work with companies and I'll go in once a quarter for half a day. And then on the other months, I'll go in for 2 or 3 hours and work with the team. And it's rewarding to me to see the results that come out of that. And, of course, sometimes I have somebody besides the person that hires me call me and say, when are you coming? We need you. So, that's always nice to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've been doing this for about how long, about 8 or 9 years now?
Yes, I have. I started coaching.
You were a real estate investor for long before that, right?
Well, I grew up around real estate investing, and I always say that when I was a little girl, I thought that what everybody did was on Sundays was go eat at grandmama's and go out and ride around and look at houses. I only found out later in life that that's not how the whole world lives.
Yeah, my family did that. They never bought any, but they went around looking at them.
Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay,
can you hear
good.
Me? Okay.
I can, yeah. Well, my uncle had a lot of property and loved to buy and sell properties, and my grandparents on both sides had property, but my uncle was the one that we would usually ride around with, and he would show us what he was looking at buying or what he already had or just what was going on. And so it was a good little family outing for us back then.
Right. Let me ask you, Nancy, because, I know you, I've known you for about a year or so, and you've always seemed like a real interesting person to me. And one of the things I notice with real interesting people that I come across is that they usually have an aha moment, something in their childhood, something that sort of opens their mind much further than anything they've ever known, beside drugs, not necessarily, but you know what I'm saying. It's something that allows you to see beyond yourself. And like for me, there was an aha moment when I was out in my backyard one night, and I used to be an amateur astronomer as a kid, and just fascinated by the stars, and I'd be looking at the stars, and then suddenly there was this opening where I was just like connected with everything in the universe, and it sort of freaked me out, and it changed my life dramatically. In not ways that I could really handle, and I didn't know really what to do that. But there's different experiences I've noticed with people who, especially are in the field of teaching or coaching transformation, that have these types of experiences, or at least something bordering on these types of experiences. I was just wondering, what was that in your life, as you can recall? Was there anything like that you can recall?
Well, there's several things that come up for me. I guess one of the biggest things that transpired for me is when my uncle gave me the book, The Power of Positive Thinking, back when I was probably 14 or 15 years old. And I believe that I am inherently one of those positive thinkers and, I'm always very optimistic. In fact, somebody from high school posted on my Facebook yesterday and said, "I see you're still smiling like always." And I thought, oh, am I always smiling? I guess so. I remember reading that book and just thinking, my goodness, this is so wonderful how much control we really do have over our lives and what we think and the choices we make and the things that we do. And it was really extremely empowering for me to realize that. And again, like I said, I think some of it is just that, that's how and who I was. I don't know, I think the first experience, so when I was a child, I wanted to write a children's book when I was like 6 years old, and I always thought, oh, I'm going to write this book. And I never grew up and wrote a book, but even back then there was something in me that said, I want to be able to help other people. I want to be able to share experiences. I want to be able to teach. And mm-hmm. That's just a desire that I've always had, even before I got into coaching or speaking, was really to help other people. And again, the Norman Vincent Peale book was really life-changing for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, at that age is very, very powerful to get something like that.
Mm-hmm. I'll add another piece to that. I worked in my uncle's furniture store, especially in the summertime, and it was an office furniture store. And we would go in there, 8:30 or 9 in the morning, and we would just wait for people to come in the door. And it was an office furniture store, so people would come in here and there, but it wasn't like we were busy, real busy all day with serving customers. And a lot of times people would come, we'd have big orders, but it was just a lot of times we were sitting around, and I'm looking at the clock waiting for 5 o'clock or 5:30 to get there so we could go home. And I also remember thinking back then that this is not how I want to operate. I'm not ever going to be in a position where I just have to sit somewhere from 9 to 5 and wait. Like I'm in this building, and I just have to be here. And that really was yeah. honestly another deciding piece for me of who I wanted to be and what I wanted to do and what I was willing to do to not feel like I did when I sat there all day.
Good for you. So you've pretty much always worked for yourself. Is that correct?
Well, when I first, I worked in the family business, and then I started a small business when I was in college. So, yeah, I was working for myself then. And then, in between, I worked for other people. But I went into sales when I first came out of college because that did give me that flexibility and freedom and also the ability to drive my income, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of it's kind of like working for yourself.
Right. Well, you've always had that entrepreneurial spark, which I think I admire that. I mean, I've always had that myself. My dad had that. I mean, he never could work for anybody else. I probably tried working for other people. That was my downfall because I usually got fired because I always tried to do things my way, and a lot of them didn't want me to do it their way. So we had a parting of the ways. But yeah, I can understand that completely. Tell me, is there a particular thing that any other decisions or any other turning points that you can think of that maybe led you into the direction of, I know you mentioned meeting Nancy about 9 years ago and who taught mm-hmm. you about coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone recently who you're using as a mentor or using as someone who helps to spark ideas for you, or just share some of those with us if you don't mind?
Well, I have a mastermind group that we participate in with one another. We participate together every month. We have a regular meeting, and we are just there to focus on one another's businesses, and we will have, maybe 45 minutes each where the whole group is just a think tank on each person's business, and we bring whatever it is. Hey, here's a new strategy I'm looking at, or I want to expand my market, or I want to be more niche be more in a market niche, or I want to do something with my marketing materials or business development or whatever it is. And we bring those things to the table, and we work together in regards to those things. And then I hire and work with different people depending on what's going on and what my needs are around the things that I'm doing currently. So I'm a big believer in having mentors and asking people for help and for direction. It's important, really, because one of the aspects to a masterminding even is when we're sitting around in our own heads and we're in our own little house, it reminds me sometimes of like when you see the anthill and there are all those little ants, and there's this whole big world out here, this big universe, and they are just living their whole lives right there on that one little hill. Yeah, it might be one little tiny piece of your big yard. And they're there all running around doing their little business, and sometimes I think that's almost like what we're doing as human beings.
Yeah, I think we are. Exactly.
We're just stuck in our one little plot of land and our little house inside our little heads. and really, that is, we can get really stuck in that place. So stepping out of that and connecting with other people and having the energy of other people, whether it be a one-on-one mentor or an accountability partner or a mastermind group or whatever it is for you, is really huge. And if you think about how many times you've sat around and tried to figure out a problem on your own without discussing it with anybody, and maybe how long you carried that weight around on your shoulders and you fought and struggled with a decision or a choice or something. And then you think about times when you've been in an environment where you were connected with other people and you've all worked together to make something happen. If you just think about the difference in the energy.
Right.
When you have that collaboration, it's really huge, and what you can accomplish is so much different. So I'm a big believer in collaborating and working with other people, like I said, whether it be a masterminding or one-on-one, like with a coach or a mentor.
I know that you're friends with Marnie McPherson. I think you were a coach of hers at one point, weren't you? I think she mentioned you and also, or at least some reason I made that connection where you had worked with each other, and she's doing very well from what I understand.
Yes, I do work with Marnie still. Love Marnie. She is really dear to me, very successful online marketing, Idea Marketers. And, yeah, we do. We work together, and she's also been great. I mean, she shares so much information. It's amazing as far as online marketing and getting exposure and that kind of thing. So, yeah, Marnie is somebody that I, although, I have acted as a coach to Marnie and do when she still do when she needs me. We have masterminded together and bounced around a lot of ideas, and so it's real important to have those kind of people that you can turn to and say, "Hey, what do you think about this?" Or let's get connected on something. I want to say too, Michael, that you and I met. Well, we were at a meeting together a while back, and I know you said a lot of people have not seen your work or don't know about your work, but you did some exercises with me that day. One of the things that I came away with from that is that I was, just my personality, I want to help other people, and I was great at giving, but I wasn't necessarily the best at receiving. And so that was really powerful for me, and I've done a lot of, contemplating around that and thought around it, and I just wanted to share with you that I wanted to say thank you, first of all. And that it was really beneficial for me, the work that we did. I'd love to explore some more, but I wrote about this recently. I started with my partner, Nancy Gerber, we started a blog site called The Gratitude Habit.
Mm-hmm.
And gratitude is it's just so important in feeling good, and they've done a lot of studies now about the power of gratitude on your psychological and physiological state.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually wrote something on my gratitude blog about, being how grateful I am for receiving and how I've opened up to receiving and just how many things are coming my way. So I just wanted to thank you for that and the work that you do. I know it's very powerful.
Thank you, Nancy. That's very kind of you to say. I appreciate that. Yeah, I remember that session. It was good for me too. I mean, it always amazes me how good I feel when I do sessions, and that's really when I feel the best, when I'm working with other people and doing all that kind of thing. So thank you for saying that. I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome. And that's one thing I want to say too, when we're talking about choices that people make and things that you do. When I work with people, when I work with somebody one-on-one as a coach, or when I speak to an audience, or when I am working with a team doing facilitation work, those are the times when I feel the best, when I feel the most energetic, and I know, hey, that's what I'm called to do. And so when we're looking at decisions and choices that people make, it's I believe it's really important to be in that space of what brings you energy. And even if that's not the place where you are necessarily making your living, to show up in those places where you get energy. I mean, for example, I love kids. I volunteer at the Boys and Girls Club, or I'll just go and babysit a friend's child or take them out or do something. And that's okay. I don't have any kids of my own, but I really love doing that, and it gives me a great deal of joy and a great deal of energy. And so that's one of the things that I say to people is making that decision and making those choices to be in those spaces that bring you joy and energy.
Yeah, that's true. What do you think? I've noticed it's interesting you bring this up, because we feel so good when we do these things. We feel so wonderful and so enlivened and so happy. It makes you wonder, why don't we do it all the time, or why don't more people do it all the time? And I guess that's what led me to because I used to go through experiences of bliss and have all this wonderful feeling and all this good things, nature stuff, and I was going, why doesn't everybody want this? And that sort of led me into the work that I'm doing, and really I found out that a lot of people have ideas that are just sort of carved in stone based on survival decisions, some deep-rooted stuff or whatever is going on. What, in your opinion, is the biggest thing that you've come across that stops people from living the way that you and I are striving to live, for example?
Good question. What comes to mind for me is choice. And I hear people say, especially I have one friend that always says, I don't have a choice. And I have to do things this way. And so when you go back to, do you have a choice? Maybe you don't like all the choices you have, but you have a choice. And maybe you're choosing to give up a little of this or that to get some more of the other, but at the same time, it's a choice. It's a choice how we spend our time and how we live our lives. And I'll tell you, it reminds me, there's this man that walks down my street every day. I think he's 97 years old. And if there is, he never misses a beat. He never misses a day. If it's 20 degrees and snowing, he's walking. If it's 100 degrees and the sun's blistering hot, he's walking. And, you know, I look at that and I say, you know, he's chosen to be healthy and to get out and to keep himself in shape, and he's lived a long time. And any time I ever argue with myself about why I shouldn't be out exercising, because, A, I know it makes me feel better, it makes me healthier, and I'm going to be more productive after I do it, well, I know I do have a choice. I can sit here and, like, not feel that good, or I can go out and do it. And so really, I think it's about choices. It's about and looking more instinctively and intentionally at the choices that we're making. If we're happy or we're not happy, then what choices are we making that's creating either that happiness or unhappiness? Because for a great degree of what goes on, we do have control over. In fact, I'm reading a book by Marcy Smirnoff, I think her name is, but it's called Happy for No Reason. And what they've studied in this book is that we have about 50% of our happy meter is genetic, and the other 50% we control. Mm-hmm. And they used to believe that the brain could not be changed. There are these grooves in the brain. And they thought that they couldn't be changed. Once they got there, they couldn't change it. But now they have realized that they can be changed. Just like if you're exercising, you can change your muscles. So you start practicing other habits and doing other things and making other choices, and you can change even your happy meter. So you can be happier. So I don't know what else to say except that it's a choice. And sometimes I think people really get stuck in a rut, and they're not seeking out. You know, there's a little ant on the little ant hill. And they're not seeking out other people to collaborate with, or people that are not attached to their outcome. And this is a really important piece of this, because a lot of times people go to their husbands or wives or their family members, and they get more of what they've always gotten.
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly.
Stepping outside, working with a coach, getting into a group, mastermind group, or a different kind of group where you can open up your mind and get some other things going on, is so important in seeing things from a different perspective and doing things differently and seeing how other people are doing it, and also modeling and seeing, hey, I see this person does that. How does that work for them?
Right. It's putting yourself in the environment where you can adapt to that. We've got one more minute, Nancy, but I wanted to wrap up here. I also want to mention before we leave that what I've discovered is that a lot of times people are held hostage by their own what I call default thinking, where they've basically put themselves in default, the decision to go on that default setting, which means that I'm going to be the way I am and I have no choice. So mm-hmm. In a sense, that choice in and of itself, and, you know, gliding on the default setting. But there's a whole lot beyond that, which you'll have to come on the show again and we'll have another discussion here.
I'd love to have a discussion just about this topic, about choice, because I know when people start taking action and making movements forward, it's so empowering, and it really provokes more of
right.
that kind of action and forward movement.
Right. We've got 1 minute. Give people your website so they can go there and sign up and get more information.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I sure will. I have several websites. One is www.themagicofmastermind.com and www.themagicofmastermind.com. The other one is transformationconsultantsinc.com. That's about consulting and coaching. And then for real estate investing, it's transformit.net, TransformIt.net, or you can Google Nancy Spivey and see all kinds of things out there, including radio shows and websites and all kinds of things.
Right. Nancy, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on the show tonight, and sounds like you're really going strong, and I wish you the best, obviously, and I hope we can get together again and talk about this further. So.
Wonderful. Me too. I had a great time, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Nancy, so much. And I just want to invite people to come on the show every Tuesday evening at 6 o'clock, where we meet here on the show. And the phone number, again, if you want to call in, is area code 347-8435-4544. That's 8434-5444. And it's blogtalkradio.com/logicalsoul, Tuesday at 6 o'clock. And my name is Dr. Michael Craig. I'm your host. And next week we're going to have a lady who's going to talk about natural facelifts. Her name is Carolyn Cleaves, and she'll be going through some interesting things about facelifts without drugs, without surgery, without any of that other stuff, and she's a fascinating woman, so I hope you join us.